far as the 100-foot buffer recommended, in a plus letter, there's two sections to it. The first section are requirements by state regulations or code. The second part is recommendations.
The wish list.
Yeah. It is a wish list, and the state agency states in there that these suggestions do not represent state code requirements, and that they're hoped for, but in no way required. And I won't go into the whole history of the 100-foot buffer. I know you're familiar with that. And there is no buffer requirement from state federal wetlands, and we are providing a 20-foot buffer.
Okay. All right.
As far as the brownfield, it's more likely that the chances of his well being tainted will go down after the development of this project due to the fact that we have to clean it up as per DNREC regulations and the detailed plan.
I think the question was a little more, maybe if you could, if you know at this point, a little more about what the cleanup actually entails, what we actually be doing.
There's two components of it, and Zach, correct me if I'm wrong. One of them is the capping of an oily sands area that's up in this corner. And the other one, I'm pointing to the top right corner near where the parking lot's intended to be for the people that want to utilize the trail. The other is an area, Zach, you can look over here for a second. I believe it's in this general vicinity. It's kind of where the woman that was concerned about her dog.
Okay, yeah.
We have to remove soil and debris that's there and actually dispose of
it. What you're going to do is you're going to excavate the material that's there and haul it off site somewhere, and then fill it in with clean.
Correct.
Is that the procedure?
Those are the primary things that we have to do.
Okay.
Yeah. It's in this corner right here. Here's the map to it where we have to remove the material, replace.
Right. Now, whose requirement is this, and who supervises this work and certifies that it was done properly? I'm sorry.
DNREC.
Okay, it's our state Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control. Okay.
There'll be an action plan that will be that has been prepared and submitted to them. The report, again, it's 1,400 pages. There have been 100 whatever borings and test pits. That's been submitted. They've commented on it. Now, an action plan is put together, which is in the process. It'll be submitted to them based on the recommendations of the report, which they already approved the report. Okay. And then once that action plan is approved by them, then it is monitored as construction starts to make sure those action items are addressed.
Okay.
Just to give you a taste of the extent of that report, it cost over $150,000, and it was the first 6 months of this property being under contract. So we didn't do anything until that report was conducted and came back and reviewed by DNREC. So that was the initial process.
Okay. Is that part of our record?
We can get
I can make it part of the record. I mean, it's 1,400 pages.
And I appreciate that, and I certainly understand how heavy and cumbersome it is. But you know, if someone from the public wants access to it and wants to see it, I think they should have it. I'm not sure if our office is the best way to access that, though. Is it available? Is it a public document?
Maybe at DNREC. I guess it would be.
I mean, if somebody wanted to see it, wouldn't they be able to get
freedom
to see
information,
it?
Information, sure.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. All right. The summary's part of ours. I know. We've got the...
Yeah, we thought the summary
would be... We've got the summary, which, trust me, is long enough but for reading. But, you know, in fairness to the folks who have an interest, we just want them to know that if they want to see the whole report, that it would be available from DNREC.
And just since I have them here... These are the three maps that I'll include for the record, which basically, with the summary.
Yeah, give those to Mr. Robertson. We'll put them in our record, and anybody who wants to see it can see it. It'll be there. Well, you know, it's transparency, you know.
Mr. Wheatley, I think the other question was about an alternative access.
Yes.
There is no alternative access, although it was our plan to create a stub road to the Atlantic Concrete access.
Yes.
Purely for emergency purposes.
Okay.
Emergency vehicles, and that's what would be hopefully the construction entrance.
Okay. All right, good. All right, thank you, gentlemen. Okay, who's next? Okay, way back there, thrusting his hand in the air with a lot of authority. That's right, you, sir.
name is Kelly Rotz. I live at 131 Tulip Drive. I've been in Dutch Acres since the 90s. I've seen the expansion of the church, the development of Terramino. Everybody's talking about the intersection. I'm not going to beat a dead horse. It's horrible. Northbound is not an issue. Unless church is letting out, you can't see who's coming. But anybody trying to go south, where are all the shopping centers, developments, entertainment? It's all south. Mm-hmm. You get one full-size vehicle that can cross, and it has to wait until there's an opening.
Right.
It's just tough. So I'm not going to beat that horse. Two things that I'm concerned about.
Okay.
I live at 131. So I'm right here.
Okay.
Everybody's talking about the buffers and the setbacks. Have two young children, a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old. Mm-hmm. Where do they play? They don't play in the front yard because I got the church. I got Tulip Drive with all the traffic. Now I'm going to have traffic right there. Isn't a kid supposed to be able to play in his backyard freely? Let the dog run?
In his backyard, yeah.
Yes.
Not in somebody else's, though.
Correct. I don't see 20 feet beyond my property line to where that road is. If the scale's correct on that, it might be from me to you. Kids throwing the ball rolls, the dog goes.
I understand.
So my concerns are young kids. The drop-off in the bridge, is the bridge going to be compliant for all the other children in the neighborhood?
Bridge going to be compliant with for all
the bridge have a sidewalk going across
to facilitate traffic.
Kids, you know, are naturally inclined to go to bridges. There are rocks off of them, plunk in the water.
I just didn't know what you meant.
Sure. Okay. You know, 15-foot drop. It's a good drop for a youngster. That's it.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Who's next? Yes, sir. Come on up. Yeah.
Jim McGuire, 17253 Queen Anne Way. I have just one question, and it's kind of a follow-on from a previous one, the safety issue on Route 1. If I could I put that?
Sure, they'll help you with that.
There's been a lot of talk of putting extending the deceleration lane on the northbound side, north of Tulip Lane, or the Tulip Drive.
Right.
But my concern is that probably 200 to 250 feet from Tulip Lane north on Route 1 is another crossing.
Okay.
And what you can end up having is cars decelerating, cars going like, you know what, coming off that bridge, and then cars coming across into that crossing lane, trying to go south onto Route 1. And I'm really concerned with just all that traffic there. You got some decelerating, some trying to accelerate onto Route 1, others just barreling down Route 1. That's basically my safety concern.
Okay.
So thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Traffic Man, this situation has been mentioned two or three times now. Do you have anything you can add that might clarify or what's going to actually happen there and how it's going to be better than it is now?
Yeah, if I understood what the gentleman's concern is, he was concerned about a kind of what they call weave condition, where you would have people coming out making the left into if this median lane was extended all the way back.
Right.
However, it's only being extended back off the top of my head. I can look if you want, but I think 70 feet.
Okay.
There's much more distance between 70 feet. So if you're making this left to go south from this crossover, that existing won't change. There's not going to be a lane that you can cheat into to use as an acceleration lane.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Did that answer your question?
All right. I just wanted to know for my own. Okay. Who's next? Yes, ma'am.
I Becky Healy at 17424 Terramino Place. I didn't do my homework before I came here tonight, but I've learned...
Well, you're going to have to stay after school. That's all there is to it.
I've learned a lot, and all I can say is that this is a bad idea on so many levels, and I'm glad the gentleman from St. Jude is here. I think they're wonderful neighbors. I personally love St. Jude's, and our Terramino neighbors are wonderful, too. I'm really concerned about this exit entrance road. How long is that? Is that 75 yards? It's not as long as a football.
I'll find out for you.
Because I don't think it's very long. Now, the church I know has 424 or 429 parking spaces. I know that because I asked Father Jim one day. Now, it's not filled up all the time, obviously, except maybe Easter. But
he's a priest. He should know.
He should know. And there are, as the gentleman said, services every morning at 7:30. That certainly doesn't fill the lot. There are services Thursday night, Saturday morning, two services on Sunday, and there are always backups. And I wondered if DelDOT considered that church, and I can't imagine they didn't when they did the traffic impact.
Oh, I'm quite sure they did.
I'm quite sure they did. But in any event, if what this says here is correct, it's going to generate... This new development is going to generate another 1,569 vehicle trips per day.
Getting a no head shake on that, but we'll get a clarification.
If it's not going to happen, then it shouldn't say so here. Because that's what
I'm not sure what you're looking at.
Well, I'm looking at something, the PLUS review.
Plus report. Okay.
Does that have any validity?
Well, it does, but we're not exactly sure what the sentence you are reading in the context. And
it says, DelDOT estimates that the proposed development will generate 1,569 vehicle trips per typical weekday and 158 vehicle trip ends per hour during the peak.
Well, I'm sorry, what? Before what?
Age restriction. We added age restricted after the plus.
Oh, okay.
During the peak hour of that day. That's 159 vehicle trips per hour of that day. So it might not have met the criteria of it has to have at least 200 generate 2,000 more vehicles per day, but it comes pretty close to it.
We'll find out. We'll get them to explain.
Good. And what I'm saying is that exit entrance is so short. Mm. It's backed up already. If we're going to have 147 new units in back there, that's just a bad place for this place to be. Couldn't they find another place to put it? If we have that only exit entrance, I really appreciate what the gentlemen have said from Tulip Lane, because I use that entrance from Creative Concepts right now. I certainly don't drive through the church parking area, and I'm...
Yeah, because you wouldn't want Jesus to catch you. You don't care. You don't care if the people who live in Dutch Acres catch you, but you don't want the big guy.
The sky should open up, but I watch my.
I understand.
It's just a really bad idea. And backing up Nassau Bridge down to Five Points on Route 1 is backed up Saturdays, Sundays, Friday nights too, probably below north of Nassau Bridge. I just don't see this happening. It's not a good idea. It's a really bad idea. And as I said, on so many levels that I just heard tonight.
Okay. All right, thanks. I would like the traffic engineer to respond to the figures that were quoted and tell us what's up.
Basically, what she was referring to, when the project went to plus, there was no age restriction element on the residential component or the residential units. And then when you do the age restriction, you can't just say, oh, we're going to age restrict it and reduce the traffic. It actually is done by deed, and Preston went over the federal requirements a little bit earlier. But the numbers she cited were most likely from a single-family development. It might have even been for a few more units than we have now. But ours is 660-some trips per day.
So what you're saying is what the application was altered after the plus review was done. Is that right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and I don't want to say the application necessarily as far as the number of lots may not have changed. But
you changed the age restriction.
The age restriction was added.
It was age restricted afterwards. Okay.
Correct. And that was done when we met We made the official decision after we met with DelDOT, and we did do a TIS. She was referring to the TIS warrants with 202,000.
Right.
DelDOT's new warrants are down to, I think it's 500 ADT and 50 peak hour trips required a TIS. So we did do a TIS. This is one TIS, both books.
Okay. And that TIS, that number that was based on the age restriction, that's in your report that DelDOT reviewed and approved.
Correct. I think they even put it in the TIS review letter that their consultant produces.
Okay. So they've seen that number. I don't want the audience to be confused that number occurred in Plus and DelDOT has not reviewed that.
Right? Correct. This TIS was submitted to DelDOT. The traffic counts were submitted and reviewed, approved. Preliminary and final have all been reviewed, approved. And then that results in that letter from McCormick Taylor.
And that's in Exhibit 9 in their DelDOT letter. It actually states age restricted.
Okay. All right. So that's part of the record. Okay. Thanks.
I would submit that this is clarified. So we're comparing apples to apples, not apples to oranges. I mean, it's either 600 and something or it's what it says here.
Well, ma'am, there's a difference between age restricted development and a single family without.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm saying
okay.
Clarify so we understand.
All right. Back to your corners. Back to your corners. Back to your corners. The situation is that the information that you have in the Plus report was changed as a result of some discussion and that these folks had with the DelDOT folks, and they age restricted the development, which changed the numbers that you're looking at. And I think the situation is that you may not have the latest and greatest news there on what those traffic numbers are, and that is part of that. And that is a difficult thing about this process. This happens to us too. We get information, and then information changes, and so on. And it can be a little hard to keep up with. So it's very understandable why you would be where you are. But apparently, what is in the record now, what is most currently in the record now, is what they have presented tonight.
Even that is an awful lot.
Understand. Okay. Thank you.
Just if I can, it's page 12 of the McCormick Taylor letter that's in the exhibit. They have the updated trip generation.
Which is what? Just read it, the two numbers for us.
333 in, 333 out, so it's 666.
Okay, all right, thanks. Okay, who's next? All the way in the back with a red sleeve in the air. And an orange, blue, and brown tie. All right.
You'll love my personality.
I can tell. I love it already, and you haven't even said a word. What's your name?
Herb Von Goris. I'm at 115 Tulip Drive.
Okay.
Some of the concerns that I have also been brought out. I live at the southern end of Tulip Drive, and we do see a lot of traffic that comes in to go the rest of the way down to Terramino. The turn, especially for the express lane coming out of Lewis, it all converges right there at Creative Concepts. It can be hard. You've got people throwing on brakes out on Route 1 trying to get over, people trying to come out. Nobody follows the yield sign half the time. We've lived back there for, I guess, close to 30 years. I guess we probably one of the older homes back there. The Village of Five Points at the time when we went back was just a nice field that the migratory fowl would always take a break in. Now they've had to find someplace different, and looking out around the area, they're still going to be moving. With some of the, we were actually led to believe that the properties behind us were landlocked, and because of the wetlands issues, really wouldn't be built on. And it is nice to know who's responsible for cleaning up the little Superfund that thing going back there. Thank you. We appreciate that. At least we know who owns it now. Some of the things with my wife has concerns about the animals that are running around out there, not just the ecosystem with the groundwater and the wetlands itself, but some of the other residents in play out there. Some of the streams, I have concerns too with the water tables. Living our backyard backs right up to the properties. Is there going to be runoff that's going to be affecting my basement? Is there going to be, as far as the buffers, as far as noise and everything, is there going to be drop-offs? The traffic is still a major thing going through, whether it's going through at the other end. I think a lot of people will find the south end. The question was also asked, and I don't believe it was responded to, concerning a bond for if our wells are affected. Who's going to be covering that? And will that not just installing the water, but also covering the water, because it was something not of...
There isn't a mechanism for this group to require a bond for something like that, and I would expect that there would have to be some independent opinion that a risk was plausible and in that situation. But I don't know who would do it. It's not within our power to do that. But I hear what you're saying. I mean, I appreciate your concern.
And part of it seems like we're trying to recreate an ecosystem with the drain water ditch or retention ponds when we already have a pretty perfect, or not necessarily perfect, but a good ecosystem as far as the wetlands there. If that whole area was just avoided, we wouldn't have to try to rebuild.
I'm sorry, the whole area?
If the area with the wetlands wasn't involved with any of it, they wouldn't have to look to replace everything.
Well, it's not their only place. They can't touch the wetlands except to build that bridge. There's something called a nationwide permit that allows you to disturb up to 1 acre of I think that's right. Am I right? 1 acre, isn't it the national permit for up to 1 acre? And there are requirements that you have to fulfill. But other than that, they're not allowed to disturb the wetlands. That's why they delineate them like they do, so that they know where they're. And in fact, we don't even allow them to be in a residential lot anymore. They have to design the lots. There are no lots here because this is a condo project. But when it's a subdivision, for instance, mm-hmm. you can't even put. We don't even allow them to have the wetlands in the lot lines anymore. They have to be completely separate and avoided. And we are working through these issues on buffers, and hopefully we'll solve that problem at some point.
And the state's wish list item for a 100-foot buffer.
Yeah.
That's great, but we all see how far people want to take the actual trying to accomplish a little bit more than what's necessary.
Yeah, understood.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay, who's next? Yes, sir. Over here with the mirror shades. Expecting an eclipse tonight, or?
Good evening. My name is Kevin Craig from 121 Tulip Drive, and I just want to piggyback off some of the things that everyone else said, as well as a couple of new things. First of all, as far as the impact of the cars coming into the neighborhood, she had a number of 1,500 plus. The number on the paper I have here has 1,200 plus. He's a 600 plus. I think if we just wait another year, we'll have no cars coming to the neighborhood at all. So,
if it doesn't get approved, you won't have any new ones.
Right. My concern as far as the traffic coming into the neighborhood that hasn't been addressed yet, partially but not completely, is the traffic that's coming in from the south end of Tulip Drive.
Okay.
Currently, you have the merge lane coming from Route 9 from Savannah Road that's heading west and then heads north on to Route 1. That merge lane coming from... They are heading north, ties directly into the cars that are coming into the south end of Tulip Drive. So by adding more cars coming into the south end of Tulip Drive, you're going to have a lot more impact on accidents and things that happen at that corner as well that wasn't previously mentioned. Back in the 2005 when the site was approved before, when they had the entrance coming in from near Atlantic Concrete, did that plan have the roads and everything running down across here?
Sir, that was 10 years ago. And I'm willing to bet I've seen about 300 since then. Will forgive me if I don't remember. Okay.
I'm all for development. I think this is the biggest issue that I have, and I think a lot of people that live, I'm 121, so I'm actually right here. So as Preston stated earlier, the original growth that's there plans on staying, which is great, but not adding to that because it's there. The downside of that is you have huge trees that are probably 15, 20 feet apart. So if you don't put anything in vegetation in between there, then you're still having all those lights come through there. So I would hope that that would be taken into account.
I'll ask them about that, because that's been mentioned two or three times, too, that there's a concern about headlights and so on. Maybe a visual barrier fence. I don't know. We'll ask them about that.
My main concern to my property is, being right here, this is the ditch that a lot of the water from the neighborhood drains through. I have a garage in the back corner of my property, and put a new driveway in. We lasered everything out to make sure everything went back properly, as well as it could back through there.
Right.
I had previously put a pipe that ran the left side of my driveway, so any water that went on the left side of my driveway back past my house, the left of the garage, went back to the ditch that way. And I dug a trench through the right of my garage that goes back behind there. But the road running right here...
I'm sorry, you dug a trench on somebody else's property?
No, my property. No. On the right side of my garage. Then went back towards the property back there to make sure everything went back as quick as it could.
Okay.
If this road goes up here, is there going to be a pipe or anything underneath there to get that water that goes back towards?
I'll find out. There are some regulations about water that's already crossing a site, and we'll see how that applies in this situation. Okay.
I wanted to piggyback on Bill Gregg's mentioning of a dead end on Tulip Drive, even though I use that road in and out all the time, even more than heading north. I'm afraid of the amount of traffic that's going to be coming in from that, as far as the accidents I talked about before, and the extra traffic it's going to be putting onto those cars that are, or those homes that are right there on Tulip Drive.
Okay.
I guess that's it.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I guess, Mr. Krause, you want to respond to the stormwater issues?
Yeah. I mean, just like any project, you cannot discharge, I mean, prevent somebody else's property that's draining across or through a piece of property. You cannot just clog it and say, that's it. I mean, depending on how that road is designed there, I mean, it'll be allowed to drain. If that's the way it's draining, it will drain that after we're done. I mean, either with a catch basin or piping underneath the road. So, I don't.
So your answer is yes, you're going to be accommodating the water that's coming off his property, because the law says you have to.
That's right.
Is that a fair statement?
That's a fair statement.
Okay.
In answer to two of his other questions,
yes,
he is correct that in the 2005 application, there was no street or homes on that side of the wetlands.
Okay.
Right. But that was also the primary comment of P&Z and the council, was that the access, that they encouraged the developer to source another means of access other than through Atlantic Concrete. And this, you know, application is really in response to that.
Okay. All
the other question you had, which is a good point, because particularly where he lives, there is kind of some open space, and there's large trees with not a lot of understory. So what we would do in the 20-foot buffer in that area is fill in the understory with other plantings.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
I didn't prepare to speak, so it's not going to be long.
You know what? That's fine. I don't have to be anywhere until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning.
My name is Kirsten Sultan. I live on 113 Tulip Drive.
Mm-hmm.
I also own the other two lot site next to it.
Okay.
And I'm here since 1995.
Okay.
Where it was all back fields and
mm-hmm.
nice. You could wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and see a deer in your backyard. My concern is there has been so much development in recent times here. When is enough enough? When do you have to buy a house to put a road there right through a development that already is full of traffic and now endanger all the people that live on that road. I just can't see it. All for what? For money? Mr. Hudson, which is LLC, I believe, when I looked at the books, has enough money to live his and his grandchildren's life for them. He doesn't need to displace all these animals that live in back of there, that called this a home for so many years. And Tulip Drive was not built to take the kind of traffic it's already taking. We just paid for the sewers that are going through there. And part of the road already collapsed a little bit, I heard.
Wow.
Of course, there's a stream running across there. Mm. So I just can't see that you're going to burden us, the taxpayers, with putting an already wealthy person that had the foresight to buy this house that is number 60 on our road and enable him to destroy our lives. I just can't see that. Let him put the road or buy the cement factory to put his roads and let him go back over there. That would be a solution for all of us. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. All right, who's next? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on up.
I'll be brief. I think you've already covered most of the concerns we had.
Okay.
I'm John Gilbert. I live at 16851 North Hunters Run in the Villages of Five Points. I'm here as a member of the Village of Five Points Property Owners Association, basically representing our board in the community. The board basically has no real concern about the development, but we do have a couple of comments to offer, which I think have already been resolved. One of them has to do with the 20-foot forested buffer, similar to what Dutch Acres has. We're hoping, and I think I've been agreed that there will be that 20-foot forested buffer between the development and the Villages of Five Points. The other item was the Rails to Trails program 10-foot path that came from the parking area down connecting to the Villages of Five Points. I believe that has been done away with now. That was the other concern we had, but the board did not support that path. So with that, I thank you. And I'd like to say, Mr. Wheatley, you do a fantastic job of running a meeting.
Thank you.
You keep it light and moving. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. And if you, well, never mind, I won't say that. Vince will yell at me. So, but if you really liked it and you want to send a little contribution.
Do not say that.
That was said completely in jest. Okay, we are more than adequately compensated by just rendering this public service. So, who's next? Anyone else?
Go. Be on YouTube tomorrow, by the way.
I probably, yeah. Somebody will. Anyone else wish to speak on this application? Well, we usually only allow one trip to a. Come on.
Oh, well, don't start talking until you get up here.
Yeah, you got to get up here, I mean, because we got to have you on the tape. Okay, give us your name again.
I wanted to find out whether when they're building back there, because it's wet. I mean, it's been wetlands back there for years.
Yeah.
If they build back there, is it going to sink down? Because, I mean, is it sustainable to build houses back there? Would the weight take it for the gully goes down? I mean, it's not really sustainable. And to put a road back there, going snaking all the way up, that is another concern I had.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right. Okay, anyone else? All right, then. Anyone on the commission have any questions? Okay. Now, before we close the public hearing, I want to thank all of you for coming and for being very patient and incredibly well-behaved. This is the first time in a long time that we've had a room this full that I didn't have to stop and ask people to be quiet. You guys were just great, so we appreciate that. And we actually have five or six more items of business to take care of this evening. So when we adjourn, or when we close the public hearing, your natural reaction is going to be to get up and start talking. Okay? I'm all right with get up, but don't start talking, please. Just go ahead and exit and feel free to visit all you want out in the lobby. We'll close the public hearing. You are invited to remain with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.